Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Is it 30? 31.
Yenaivaham Bhagavato Vasudevasya Vedasaha Mayanubhavam Avidam Yena Gacchanti Tat Padam Yenaivaham Bhagavato Vasudevasya Vedasaha Mayanubhavam Avidam Yena Gacchanti Tat Padam Yena by which Eva certainly Aham, I, Bhagavataha, of the Personality of Godhead, Vasudevasya, of Lord Sri Krishna, Vedasaha, of the Supreme Creator, Maya, energy, Anubhavam, influence, avidam, easily understood, yena, by which, gacchanti, they go, tat padam, at the lotus feet of the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. By that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Sri Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to Him and personally meet Him. Purport. By devotional service, or by the most confidential knowledge, one can understand very easily how the different energies of the Lord are working. One part of energy is manifesting the material world. The other, superior part of His energy is manifesting the spiritual world. And the via medium energy is manifesting the living entities who are serving either of the above mentioned energies. The living entities serving material energy are struggling hard for existence and happiness, which is presented to them as illusion. But those in the spiritual energy are placed under the direct service of the Lord in eternal life, complete knowledge, and perpetual bliss. The Lord desires, as He has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all conditioned souls rotting in the kingdom of material energy come back to Him by giving up all engagements in the material world. This is the most confidential part of knowledge. But this can be understood only by the pure devotees, and only such devotees enter the kingdom of God to see Him personally and serve Him personally. The concrete example is Narada himself, who attained this stage of eternal knowledge and eternal bliss. And the ways and means are open to all, provided one agrees to follow in the footsteps of Sri Narada Muni. According to Shruti, the Supreme Lord has unlimited energies without effort by him, and these are described under three principal headings as above mentioned. Narada has achieved very great success in devotional service quickly, a matter of a few months, because he's very serious about this business. Prabhupada says this path is open to all, or this, the ways and means are open to all. What Narada did, someone else can also do. You can also do. But it requires that seriousness, that dedication, an effort. It doesn't come without a great effort. If one is lazy, then one will get lazy results, slow results. Narada is now up to the stage where he can see through the workings of the material energy, mayanubhavam avidam. Usually we are helpless, slaves of maya. We're in the fortress of Durga, and there's no bars on the wall. It's just our illusion that keeps us in. Even we're invited, escape! The door's open. We don't want to go, because we have our family. We have our pursuit of happiness. I'm not leaving this place. So with no bars on the walls, still we're kept trapped, prisoner by our own delusion, bewilderment. Narada is now so advanced, he has developed priya-shravasi, ratihi, and even bhakti. He's attained some love of God. That's described in previous verses. So he's an advanced devotee now. And that status in pure devotion to the Supreme Lord enables him to see through the illusion of maya. Now, maya anubhava can be understood in two ways that Prabhupada alludes to. Maya, it means the material controlling energy, and it means the spiritual controlling energy, yoga maya. The marginal potency is always under the control of one or the other of these two energies. Are you there? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, one of the two. It's one or the other. You may be in a mixed condition, but it's really from one moment to the other. You know, it's AC current on and off. You're in maya one moment and connected with Krishna's energy, personal energy, at the next moment. But it's not really both at the same time. It's required to also understand like Narada did. That's why Prabhupada says we should follow in the footsteps of Narada. We should try to be serious as he was, and we should try to accomplish what he's accomplished. We may not do it in a few months. It may take us a few lifetimes, or at least a few decades. But we should strive for the same accomplishments, because these are the basic things that must be done for spiritual success. You have to be able to distinguish illusion from reality. You have to be able to see through the illusion. And you have to understand that Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah. But as long as you don't understand that your material life is not reality, and you continue to take it seriously and make your endeavors for material success, and put all your interest in material things, You'll never understand. In that consciousness, you'll never understand Krishna's birth and activities as they really are. It's nice that you know, Prabhupada says in a lecture I heard the other day, it's nice if you know something about Krishna's birth and activities. He was born in Mathura, and he was taken to Gokula, and then he killed this demon and killed that demon. But that's just external knowledge. You have to understand the essence of that. God doesn't have any parents. He doesn't take birth. He's eternal. What is going on when he takes birth, apparently? If you understand the transcendental nature of his birth and activities, God doesn't need to do anything. Name kartavyam, name, what is it? Name, partasti kartavyam, trishu lokeshu kinchana, anavaptam avaptavyam. I don't have anything that I need to do anywhere in the three worlds, O Partha, because there's nothing that I lack, and nothing for me to, no ambitions to achieve anything, because I already have everything. So there's nothing for me to do. And still I'm engaged in activities. Figure that out. Figure that out, and then chaktva deham punarjan ma naiti. You won't have to take birth again. You'll come to me. You know, Krishna's offering everyone. You can come to him, but first solve this riddle. The riddle of my birth and activities. But you won't be able to do that until you give up your attachment to your own material life. When you understand and put into practice the understanding that this material life is a dream, that all these concerns are vain. These material concerns are a waste of time and a waste of effort. Don't worry about all these things. Let your material body and the whole world go to hell or wherever it's going. You have someplace else to go. Understand that first and put that into practice. And then you can begin to understand the transcendental reality of Krishna's birth and activities, and the activities of his devotees in loving association with him. Narada is coming to that stage. And the next thing is, he's going to enter into Krishna's pastimes, regain his eternal spiritual body, and be Narada again, the intimate associate of the Lord, which he always is. But he's going through this pastime of taking birth on the earth and recovering his Krishna consciousness. But he very soon will be back to normal, traveling around, preaching, and saving the conditioned souls. We can do that also. We may not be able to fly in outer space. We may not learn how to play the veena very nicely. But we can travel and preach, or we can at least sit in one place and preach. We can help do the business of these great souls, of delivering those who are suffering in this world. What other good can you do? How can we justify our living and continuing to live in this world? If we know it's illusion, we know this is not our proper place, what are we doing here? We can only justify our existence, continued existence in this realm, by engaging in some useful service. And it's either kill demons or preach. Everything else can be done better in the spiritual world. You want to kill demons, wait a while for Lord Kalki to appear. You can help him then. You want to work with Lord Chaitanya, there's no killing involved, no bloodshed. Just preaching, chanting and preaching. That's Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He began the Sankirtan movement behind locked doors in the courtyard in the house of Srivast Thakur, and wouldn't let anybody in who was an outsider, who wasn't in the inner circle. That is, who didn't possess absolutely pure devotion, was not allowed inside to join the Sankirtan. Other people might hear something outside, and the envious materialist would go to his in front of his door and complain and make plans how to disrupt. Other people benefited by hearing, but no one was allowed in who wasn't an absolutely pure devotee. That's how the Sankirtan movement began. But it went on like that for 1 year. 1 year, I think. After that, the doors were opened. And the Sankirtan went on all over the city. And then it went on. Lord Chaitanya went on his pilgrimage and took it all over south, west, east, India. I don't think Lord Chaitanya ever went north. Krishna also didn't. Krishna traveled quite a few places, but he never went to Badrinath. He sent Uddhava later. And also Lord Chaitanya didn't go. I don't know what the reason is. But Sankirtan was brought all over India and empowered devotees like Brahmanya Tirtha and Tukaram, who Prabhupada says met Lord Chaitanya and were empowered by him. They took the Sankirtan elsewhere, Maharashtra and Assam, Manipur. Narottam Das was preaching in Manipur, one of his disciples. Anyway, went all over India. And then one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples took the Sankirtan all over the world. Now we have to take it into outer space. The Bhagavad Gita has been on the space shuttle, but that's not really preaching. There are still uncharted frontiers. Sankirtan is meant to be spread all over the universe. That is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it began behind closed doors, the Sankirtan movement, but only for some time. Then Lord Chaitanya displayed his other purpose. One purpose is to relish the depths of ecstasy, and that's done behind locked doors. But then to share it with the miserable conditioned souls. For that, he and his disciples went all over, at least all over India. And distributed the same bliss to everybody. That is also part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Saving the conditioned souls by giving them Harinam. That's Narada's business also. Narada Muni Bhajai Bina Radhika Ramana Namini. Chanting the names of Radhika Ramana. He's traveling all over the universe. So we should also follow in the footsteps of Narada by going into the depths of the holy name in our japa and then going out and giving that ecstasy that we have experienced to everybody else. Hare Krishna. Anyway, any questions or comments? Vishnu Kantapa?
Even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled, as you said, to south, west, and east, in south, we don't see much of his influence in a sense, not many people know about him. And there are not many temples of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and not many Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I mean, until ISKCON started preaching there. Is there any reason for that?
That's the stubbornness of the southern Vaishnavas. They're complacent. They think they already have their perfection. They don't need anything else. They don't think they don't need Lord Chaitanya. They already have their salvation. That's their stubbornness. Actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled in that area, he delivered everybody, and they went back to Godhead. But then the place became repopulated by more stubborn souls, and Maya again covered everything. So all the traces are gone. Also in Bengal, you know, you see many devotees of Lord Chaitanya, but you see more Shaktas and materialists and communists and everything else. Even in Bengal, to a large extent, the influence of Lord Chaitanya has been covered over. What to speak of elsewhere? That is the nature of Maya. To try to undo the work that's done by the avatar and his devotees. That's her duty. To keep people in illusion if she can. So Maya, we have to work against Maya respectfully, not to show disrespect to her, but it's our duty to keep everyone in illusion, and it's our duty to get them out. Okay. Therefore, when Prabhupada was making plans to send the Padayatra around India, he specified, you must take Gaur Nitai, especially when you go to the south. That's what they're missing. They've got their Vaishnav culture, they've got their acharyas, they've got their worship of Krishna, but they don't accept Lord Chaitanya. So you take Gaur Nitai. They must see Gaur Nitai. Okay? Yes.
So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first he started his kirtans in closed door in order to get this nectar, to experience this nectar, and only then he started to preach it all over the world. So in our case we can also we want to preach, but sometimes we don't feel enough strength to preach. So shall we despite of that, try to go out and preach, or shall we try to observe more in bhajan, in chanting, hearing, and only then go and preach? What is the proper balance?
It will vary. What should be done will vary according to what the individual duty of a devotee is. He may be his duty to go out and preach every day. Or you may have been assigned some other duty. Like we have other duty. We have to study. But normally, devotees are encouraged to preach. Prabhupada encouraged everyone as much as possible to preach. So the program should be deep sadhana, deep meditation, until breakfast. After breakfast, go and preach. That's the basic pattern.
In the case if he, despite of all morning, full morning program, we are supposed to go on preaching and we feel that we have no enthusiasm, no inspiration to preach. So shall we still try to do some sadhana, to observe more and to read more and only then go on preaching? Or just the process of preaching itself can give us inspiration?
No, if you try to preach without strong sadhana, you won't be able to go on very long. Then your preaching will become a mundane endeavor. And you may get mundane results, but not transcendental results. And you'll get frustrated after a while. You won't be able to go on doing it. No, you have to have a strong sadhana. That comes first. You got to be Krishna conscious. Then you can give Krishna consciousness to others. You can't give what you don't have. I mean, if we can get someone who doesn't chant to sell a book, fine. But how many books can he sell like that? Not even chanting. Not even tasting it. He can sell some books, maybe. And that's good. But to become a full-time, steady preacher, you have to have a strong sadhana. If you want to be happy, preach or no preach, you have to have a strong sadhana. If you want to make your life a success and be happy and get free from Maya, you have to seriously practice Krishna consciousness internally, not just superficially. And become enthusiastic, and then you can go out and preach. Without that enthusiasm, without that inspiration, what can you do? Okay, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Prahlad Nandakar.
One time one of Prabhupada's disciples asked Prabhupada why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come west to preach Krishna consciousness.
Why didn't leave India?
Yeah, why did not he come to west to preach Krishna consciousness?
Why didn't Krishna kill everybody himself on the battlefield? He wanted Arjuna to participate. He wanted Arjuna to get the glory. So Lord Chaitanya wanted Prabhupada to get the glory. So he didn't do it himself. He wanted his devotees to do it. So he didn't do everything all by himself. I think so. I think that's the reason.
Prabhupada also, I heard it from one devotee. Prabhupada gave answer that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to give me the fame so that he did not. Prabhupada wants to give me the fame.
Yes, yes.
So that he did not come.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll stop. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.